Blog Talk Radio.
Steve Anderson Radio Show. I hope you guys have a wonderful evening. I also, guys, that was Shani Morrell Holtz. Shani Morrell Holtz, you can reach her on Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn. Shani is an awesome artist based out of Houston, Texas, and also too in between California back and forth, sometime in Atlanta. Shani Morrell Holtz, Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn. I have a buddy of mine, Colston, showed me tonight. Ron is actually on vacation. My buddy, Alan Jones, out of Palm Springs, California. Alan Jones, are you in the building or out the building?
Yes. I'm in from my other office, the golf course, and ready to rock and roll and ride shotgun.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah, so Alan, how's your evening going? Obviously, you're doing well. You live in the golf course. The weather's nice, of course, out there always in California. You can't beat California. So I'm out here in Florida. It is hot as hot can be. But talk to me. How's your day, your evening going so far?
Oh, it's going well. It's basically an extension of Father's Day. Thought I'd get out and beat some of this COVID lockdown to, avoid curtail
yes.
any type of depression and anxiety by playing a little golf today. So it was a wonderful
and that's a beautiful thing that you're doing.
Yeah,
that's beautiful. Like, Alan, let me read some credits and then we're going to get into the show. We have a lot to talk
Absolutely.
About and our goal is tonight is help as many people as we can possibly help. That's what we're here for. So having to get through this this stressful physical and mental breakdown that people have been dealing with during this pandemic. However, credits, Ron Yarbrough is a co-host also, but he's on vacation. Ron is an author right now, guys. You can, as the name of his book is called Believe So You Can Achieve. Believe So You Can Achieve. And you can get him, find him at Yarbrough. 16.com, Yarbro 16.com. Instagram, Yabro, okay, Y.A.R.B.R.O.16, Yabro. Again, Believe So You Can Achieve. Fantastic book. Guys, please check it out. Switch grips. Switch grips for your golfers. Switch grips make a grip. Any color you can think of, they pretty much have it. Also, too, it's like a shoe. You have the right size to fit and be comfortable. That's what they do with their grips. Switchgrips.com. Don't forget them. They're good. Of course, we did Shani Morrell Holtz. Also, too, guys, if you guys are into consultant, build your brand, okay, you want to build a brand that you have, check out Modern Creative. That's CREATIL, and that's Mia.Martin. Okay, Mia.Martin at Modern Creative. They're based pretty much all over. Modern Creative, that's Mia, MIAD.Martin. Make sure you guys check them out. If you guys are looking to build your brand, what we should be doing, this is where you go. This is where you find it. Okay, so you can build a beautiful website. Mine is on the way. Hopefully we can have it by the end of the week, if not, for sure next week. Coach Bobby Hallback, okay? He's supposed to be joining us tonight. Coach Bobby Hallback at gmail.com, okay? He's a sports and mental health consultant, all right? This is the guy that will be joining us with tonight on the show. Hopefully guys are the same and help us get through. And guys, we're here to help everyone we can, okay? I believe, hold on one second. Maybe I'm right now. Hold on a second. Hope all is well. Welcome calling into the Steve Russell Radio Show. And I have a co-host, Alan Jones, with me tonight. Who's calling? Hello?
Yeah.
Yes.
Hello.
I'm calling. Yes, welcome to the Steve Anderson Radio Show. Who's calling? I have my co-host, Alan Jones, on. You have anything you want to say? Hope your night is going well. Who's calling?
Yes, it is. I just called in the list. My brother Bobby gave me the number.
Okay. So talk to us. What do you think about this experience with this negative mental and physical effects from COVID-19? How are you coping with this? Are you dealing with it? You're making it through? I know if you had some side effects, mental or physical.
It's scary.
Ma'am.
I mean, yeah, it's very scary. Just taking one day at a time, trying to do, you know, use precautions.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. And also, too, that's what you have to do. And also, too, you need to, if you haven't done, and I'm quite sure you've done in your life, if you can make a schedule, okay, more like a plan, have your plan, a schedule on a daily basis, because that will, that's been extremely helpful, because that will take a lot of mental stress, and also too off your mind during the day, because you're looking forward to achieving something that day. Because if you tend to not stay active in that way or formulate a daily plan, you will find out extra mental negative effects will fall in place. And of course, a negative falls into physical. And I also too have my my buddy Alan Jones, and Alan, you want to talk to this one lady, give her your thoughts about what we're talking about, just about how she's been dealing with this COVID-19, this pandemic, I could say, that's been out there, pandemic. Go ahead, Alan.
Yes, I'd like to chime in here. It's interesting you should use the terminology of pandemic, because we all know and been aware of the talk, the evidentiary, you know, the evidence-based talk about COVID being manufactured in a lab and either released or got out by accident, et cetera, et cetera. Well, if it was created, then it must have been planned. So the plandemic, your terminology, I think, is very accurate. So if it's planned on that side, us being confined to our homes and this kind of thing, those side issues, those that fallout, that collateral damage, if you will, has also been planned. So we have to have a personal plan to, watch out for ourselves, because we can't count on someone else to watch out for your personal safety at that level. So you mentioned getting out, having a planned day, having certain activities, something to do, keep the mind sharp, et cetera, et cetera. I think that is extremely important. Matter of fact, that's why I got out and played golf today. Got a little vitamin D, nice sunshine, et cetera, a little exercise, all of that. And it keeps you sharp, keeps your hand-eye coordination sharp. The strongest part of the day, that 10 to 2 kind of time frame, is the best for absorbing vitamin D, et cetera, to help combat some of these things, the sunshine, as well as just some kind of physical exertion, communicating with others, at least on a, even if it's a limited basis, a few hours a day is better than no hours a day. You can't watch Netflix, sit back, eat bonbons and ice cream sandwiches and two pots of spaghetti and then go to bed late at midnight just to wake up early wondering what you're going to do the next day. You can't do that for 5 months in a row. It's very bad for your system, not to mention not eating properly. Let's see, we all know our friends, dying to get out just to go to the store. I mean, the gas station even, just to keep from eating themselves sickly. So, yes, that's what I would say about it, we can speak as the show unfolds about some of these statistics publicly available data that mimics everything I just said, but we can talk about that as the show unfolds. So I'll cut it right there.
Right.
So, but it was interesting you mentioned plandemic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What have you been doing for? You've been keeping yourself busy? I mean,
I've been keeping myself busy. I'm a CNA, and, we goes out, we goes to the grocery stores, it goes out, get nails, different things. But I have been keeping busy about every day, and my grandkids keep me going when I'm home through the day. So I'm always running, going outside,
Right.
Good.
And you seem like you're a very intelligent lady, and they have a lot of awareness. And you can see and feel the tension from other people, too. I'm quite sure you are. But you still can't lose your focus on your plan.
Right.
And of course too, a prayer. Prayer does help. And everyone have their own personal beliefs of religion. But I'm just saying it does help. But number three, I would say, I'll get back to number one. That was number two. But number one is that still have to, when you set up a plan, because you are doing your CA, you're busy interacting with people, still don't lose focus on your plan when you get home. Of course, you're going to be interacting with people and with all different attitudes, but have something to look forward to. I don't care if it's organized. I don't care if it's, okay, you're going to read a book today. I don't care if it's you need to get in touch with former relatives. Somehow, some form, make sure you stay on that plan. And that will for sure help you, because a lot of times we have effects can go so many different ways. It really can, the side effects of this. And, of course, you have specifically, I would say, you have a lot of side effects that of stress. It stresses you out. Your sleeping behavior, your eating pattern, like Alan was saying a while ago. And all that can just turn into a chronic health problems.
Mm-hmm.
So
you have to
tend not to forget to the first thing I would do, and I would say to anyone, first thing, formulate a plan of daily and weekly plan and stick with it.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the things, and you'd be surprised, some of the things that you haven't been doing that you may need to get to.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care. You may be not organize your closet. Organize your closet to changing your dishes. The whole objective is to keep yourself busy. And the outer mind, the devil is waiting on that. He's waiting on you to slow down and just start stressing out. And when you start slowing your mind down, you start finding, for some reason, negative things start coming to your mind. You start reaching back for a lot of things that it's not doing, but will start stretching you out, and someone come around you, you quick tempered, et cetera. Stay busy.
Go ahead. Yeah, I said I had a friend with a dog, and he was saying that before the pandemic, it was easy to be on the run all the time, busy in your own mind, doing things, because it's no limitations, and walking the dog was just, hey, let me get him out real quick, that kind of thing. Well, after the pandemic, after about 2 or 3 weeks, being lazy like that, all of a sudden he said, my gosh, it feels like the walls could close in on you, And then the dog would look up at him and like, hey, let's go walk. And then all of a sudden he said he was glad to start walking the dog. So instead of walking him once a day, he walks him real early and walks him late. And he said all of a sudden they have a great relationship. The dog is so cool during the day, doesn't, bother him, just a great companion. But when it comes time to his walks, it's like he has a wristwatch. He comes over and stands at attention. And he said, because he has something to do 2 times a day, and the dog is like a person, he's so personable, that just walking the dog twice a day, you know, keeps him on a schedule, even though, you know, he's on a, you know, forced in a clamped down routine of stay at home. And it's amazing, you know, the dog's eating schedule becomes his eating schedule, and it's like they formed up on a team to stay busy and to stay on point. And he said, if anything, that is what's helped him through this the last 4 months. You know, it's just been an amazing turn of events, something you couldn't plan. And, you know, like Stevie said, it's about doing something, being important on some level or being needed on some level in a regular way, as well as doing some reading instead of just only sitting back watching TV and being lonely with no dog complaining about, you know, everything.
Right.
And I thought that was ingenious. I said, yeah, that's in, that, that was, I never would have thought of it at that level, but he said, it's great.
Let me ask you a question. Where are you from? Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Clay County, Moorhaven.
Okay.
Clay County.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, anything else you'd like to talk about? I mean, what do you do, or you just want to call in? This kind of relate. You said you're a CIA. You said you.
CNA.
CNA. I'm sorry about that. So, but now, don't forget this now. Okay. Well, I'm glad you called in. I'm glad you called in, but don't forget
all
this
right.
now. Don't forget this. At the end of the day, God has a lot last answer. Okay. So keep your prayers going, okay? Yes.
Okay,
and you call
thank
in at time.
So
thanks
much.
For calling. Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, thanks
all
for calling.
Right. Thank you. All right.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for calling the Stevens Radio Show. Of course, tonight I have Alan Jones with me. Who's calling?
It's Coach Hallback. Coach Bobby.
Coach Hallback. Coach Bobby Hallback.
Hey.
You know what? I think I have the wrong.
This
guy calling the wrong radio show. I don't know if this is the right guy. Let me see.
Nah, he's calling in the right show. That's Coach.
Yeah.
Welcome,
Coach. Coach, how's it going?
Thank you.
You had a late young lady call in. She would just want to just give some words of encouragement. I hope we gave her that. She was probably working because she was kind of quick, but she just needed that real food to make it through, you know. So hopefully we give some good information. And I always talked about for your listeners, this is Coach Bobby Hallback. Sorry, he's a mental. He works with a lot of kids, youth, for mental health, and also to adults. This is Bobby Coach Bobby Hallback. I'm glad to have him online with us, and. We're eager to listen to some of the things you have to say about this, because this really falls into your seat, into your realm of things and what you're doing right now, your profession. And as we're looking forward to listening to what you have to say. But back to you, young lady, I'm going to let you go ahead. The lady, we were just talking. So hopefully she got some words of encouragement. That's what we're trying to do. And I feel like she's in a rush, but that's what we do here. Coach Hallback, what do you think about this? Have you experienced negative mental, physical effects from this COVID-19 pandemic we've been going through? What do you think about that?
Yes, a lot of clients, a lot of people in general, you know, are being stressed and having stress because of this new pandemic. Create a lot of uncertainty, fear, anxiety. Which kind of impact, well, don't kind of, but it does impact their daily functioning, normal activities, the fear of contacting someone that may have it, you know, the unknown. So it's very heightened where, you know, it's to a point where, you know, everybody's kind of on edge, not able to pursue their normal lifestyle in terms of making an adjustment, you know. And then now with the change of the world itself, you know, keep everybody, you know, hyper-vigilant, more alert, which create a lot of anxiety, you know, the fear of unknown, and then having separation from family, friends, and also going to, you know, self-isolation, create anxiety if there's no way to cope and deal with the, you know, with the pandemic, you know, in the midst of everything that's happening in the world today. So it become more compound. just creating a lot of uncertainty, definitely anxiety, fear, and depression too. And those that's already suffering from mental health condition or chronic health problems, you know, that's create more tension, more problems, you know, heighten their stress level, which can lead to drugs and alcohol or tobacco product use.
And that's what I want to talk about too, about that. But Alan, go ahead. I want to, and then I want to come back. I want to give like three details for kids, how they struggle with this. Then we're going to go to slash teens, adults, and then we'll go to the, also too, we go to the elderly. We're going to go in that. Go ahead, Alan. You can say your things, and then we'll read this biblical term I have on the mental aspect. Go ahead.
All righty. Well, let's see. We were talking about the effects of basically, according to this systemic, this pandemic and its accompanying lockdown, if you will. And it's talking about the struggle with people, not just a normal struggle of paying bills or that kind of thing, but they're more worried about their health and safety. And, you know, for everyone in the household, that is, and all of that insecurity that's connected with that. To be a little more specific, I know you mentioned categorizing in terms of kids, you know, the mid-range and maybe the elderly.
Right.
But just looking at it, because I have a mental picture of some of the statistics that I was reading, it was more along the lines of you know, women, minorities, and people with pre-existing conditions, for instance, instead of the strata of age. But since I have that clear in my mind, let me just mention that since I mentioned women and minorities, et cetera, and people with pre-existing health conditions, it says that it was relating that, oddly to me, that group of people, you know, adults, you know, under that 35 age span, you know, comprised of women, minorities, and people with pre-existing health conditions, like I said, have a much higher rate of fear and anxiety, and that's actually being reported. So not only is it a little fear and anxiety, you know, et cetera, but it's bad enough where people are trying to seek help or at least mention it to a significant other where they may have called to get information on it. So it's not just experiencing this high rate of fear and anxiety, but those strata of the population with women, minorities, and people with pre-existing health conditions are actually speaking up and trying to seek help. And that's pretty interesting. That it's affecting people even in that way over a short period of time of like, what, 90 days, 3 months, 4 months. So I thought that was pretty interesting because it's well above historical norms for, you know, the people that are reporting it in that slice of the population. So
Bob,
it's not
about that?
Just smoke and mirrors. It's nothing to sneeze at, you know. It is actually reportable healthcare.
Yeah, I was go trying ahead. To hear that clearly in terms of, like, the marginal era, the disproportionate Black African community, Native American community that don't have access to funding. So the limited resources creates that anxiety, heighten the fear, the worry, because they're more prone to contacting this virus, and they don't have the resources to, you know, get the proper care. So with the disproportionate of that not being available for them, you know, create a lot of stress for the families, you know, in those demographic areas. So, and I think that's where mostly we see the major impacts and the losses in those less fortunate neighborhoods, limited resource neighborhood. Mm-hmm. And that lead obviously to like drugs and alcohol, because that's the only way they can cope with it.
Mm-hmm. You know, what's interesting, I'm sorry, you mentioned neighborhoods and, you know, some of the lower income and this kind of thing. Don't even forget public transportation, you know, people who are stressed
Then
mentally forced, well, I've got to catch the bus to take care of business. Hell, just to simply go to Walmart and get food and come back or whatever, that's a way more stressor than normal you know, under normal circumstances, just catching the bus, you know, eight blocks down the street. Now that becomes a major concern. So you're right. All of these things do play into exactly the reasons you mentioned. Because you are speaking on from a position of common sense and experience, with that being, you know, related with, you know, mental health, et cetera.
Well, let me
read being in that arena.
Right. Let me read some. I'm going to go with the.
Yeah.
Let me touch on just the youth, what they're struggling with, and that we tend to forget. And then we're going to go to the elder, to the adults, us, and then we're going to go to the elderly. I guess I'm. All that, I guess we're almost there. Wait, the early.
Well, I got you all out of whack by throwing that middle bite of the sandwich in there.
That's a middle age.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right. A few more pandemics would be there. Would be the early, but no. Yeah. All right. So let me say, check this out, though. This is what you tend to forget. All right, so think about the teachers observing the children, right? So what about this? Mm-hmm. Teachers observed in children as a result of stay at home, okay? Then now this is what they're going to do next. Virtual learning, okay? Led to Zoom meetings with class. Thank Alan, we can talk about the Zoom. That's another topic. Then next, no outdoor play. Okay, no outdoor play, no social in-person interactions, okay, lethargic, mm-hmm. tired, sadness, depression, missing their friends, missing their teachers, okay, no after-school, sports or extracurricular activities, boredom, too much screen time, some school districts had no learning in poor areas. And I know that from where I'm from, and I'm going to do a topic. I'm going to talk about that too. We're going to talk about that in a couple of weeks, especially where I'm from. There were some kids that was not getting any Zoom time, no teaching at all. And I hope for your listeners around the world, there are some students that were not getting any teaching, period. And I know it for a fact. Okay, well, we say it's for a fact. We say on here it's the truth that they were not getting any teaching when other students were being taught. Then fear, worry, anxiety, asking what will happen next. So let's go on the children points about this. Let's talk about mm-hmm. the children and there's a lot of things. Let me tell you something. When I was a little kid, sometimes I had this nightmare. I never forget. I was somewhere this polar bear, someone was trying to jump in the bed every night, you know what I mean, man? So we have an older brother, this is from my younger brother was born. Okay. And they look. So, you know, I got tired of running up and jumping in the bed with mom and dad every night. And literally I would jump out, so me and my older brother, we had bunk beds, right? And then they took them down at one time because I kept jumping out the bed and running, I had nightmares. And I felt, man, this polar bear was trying to jump with me. Every the night, these polar bears were trying to jump in the bed with me, like trying to attack me, and I'd run out the bed. But let me tell you something. They didn't know. I could not wait to get to school. I could not wait the next day just to get to school. Because I was, even though I had my parents, my brother, my parents there would take me, but, you know, think about, I mean, I'm joking around in a sense, but no, I seriously, not joking around, but I did. I was happy to go to school. But think about these kids are going through that's kind of rough to even talk about on this radio. And they can't go to school. But go ahead, guys, what you guys talk about that. Coach and Alan, you guys jump on that.
Yeah.
What do you think
about that? Yeah, you know, it's pretty interesting because the Zoom, everybody assumes that everybody Zooms. Everybody assumes that everyone has access to Zoom. Oh, well, everybody has a cell phone. Everybody has, you can just download the software, la, 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 no problem. Just see it on Zoom at 2:00, no problem. And hell, most people, I mean, it may appear reasonable, but for a segment of the population that can't or doesn't have the money to even meet a month-to-month obligation of of cellular service. Sure, there are Obama phones, and sure, you know, so to speak, the government-sponsored Lifeline program to have a phone. But to have internet in a household at a time when everyone can't work, the main breadwinner is even out of work on this pandemic on top of it, that can be a challenge. And every kid simply, I'm quite sure, I haven't seen the stats. Of course, it takes a while to compile those, but I haven't seen the current stats that give what percentage of kids. And, you know, but you can bet it's the lower income component that plays a major role in them not getting any schooling over a 4-month period where their peers are. So think of anxiety that the weight on the shoulders of a young man or a young, you know, a young kid, you know, in fifth grade, fourth grade or whatever, not being able to communicate with his peer group and then not being able to keep up with his peer group. Look at how that can impact someone's anxiety and stress and depression. Not seeing an authoritative figure on a regular basis like a school teacher or principal or whatever, all of a sudden ripped away and just warehoused at home for a while. Yes, you can bet that has a traumatic effect.
Yeah, in terms of that, just listening to, you know, you, Mr. Anderson and Mr. Allen, in return to that, like it's called like more in terms of the psychosocial dynamics or the psychosocial functioning, where they losing, you know, more hands-on with social skills, people skills, communication skills. Obviously, they still implement those at home, but it's not to that level where they would be out in society, like in public settings, school settings, you know, interacting. So the kids' anxiety, isolation, depression kicks in because they get bored after, you know, obviously, I don't know how long they can withstand, but the boredness in it, then it leads to destructive thinking, you know, where they get into trouble or find things that not necessarily conducive for their life, you know, lifestyle or being able to function prior to, you know, going into this shutdown pandemic to where they feel isolated from the world again. So it's going to be an adjustment period again because you got to keep in mind they're going to have that mindset of what I'm going to catch or who have it, who don't have it, because I'm sure the parents are, you know, educating the kids also as well, but they still have to take a chance once, you know, lifestyle start back coming to normal again.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, one quick thing, guys. Let me ask you guys this. Everything you just said, Coach, imagine this one. While these younger kids are at home, I'm talking about since we're talking about the younger kids at home, and some of these that may or may not have extreme access to Zoom to catch up with their studies or the ones that haven't. Imagine their connection with the outside world on a daily basis is watching grown-ups or at least that middle, you know, age group of kids of, you know, in high school, college, and up acting the fool in the street in all major cities across America, rioting and carrying on, not being able to get resolution through, you know, calm and more level-headed means, resorting to, you know, rioting and all. So imagine that impact on these young kids while they're at home. You know, we forgot about that, but that's another level of destabilization and anxiety.
Right. And that's where, you know, the parents have to really, you know, zone in and focus in on their kids. I mean, this how I really look at the big picture when it came down to the pandemic shutdown. Now the parents really have to take responsibility of teaching and parenting their kids, learning the good and the bad, the do's and the don'ts in the midst of this pandemic, you know. So, and that's something that, you know, I witness, you know, through parents, like, oh, I can't take it anymore, or I can't do what I normally do, you know. And my rebuttal to that is like, you know, now it's time for you to really understand your kid, understand what's meaningful, you know, build that relationship, build that bond with your kid in spite of what's going on now. So it's almost like a learning curve at the same time.
And you know what?
Yeah, it is.
it's excellent what you're saying, because I remember when I was going through those, everyone says have a big mama. Okay. So we had a, my mom was Katie Mae Anderson. Okay. Now that was a married name, but my mom was named after her aunt, you know, her aunt, this Aunt Katie. So when I was a little boy, Aunt Katie would have up to like 15 of us. She would watch over us. And what happened was the oldest would watch the next one, and it flows all the way down. And to get to around, like, say, if the 5 year-olds was like an 8 year-olds, we have like a 15 year-old would watch over us. But not just Aunt Katie, Miss Odell across the street, that whole neighborhood was watching. Now, what I'm saying is, say this, what you said is true. A lot of people, you have some parents that one of the parents away from the kids. God has worked in mysterious ways, okay? Mysterious ways. What's going on in life now, you better reach out for the other parent and let them get their time to spend with that kid, okay? Because you see now what's going on. You can't do it by yourself, okay? And then some parents today, two parents can't do it by themselves. Two parents today can't do it by themselves. Now you got to let you know, bring other family members in if you can, or for family you can't get along with, but still bring some a friend in. You know, be open minded. Someone else can help. That grandmother, okay, or your grandmother's a friend, or your mom's friend, if they're open minded to it, or the teenagers, a whole community. We had a community that raised us. When my mom and dad got us off, they had to go to work, and we went out to spend time with Aunt Katie, and it was 15, I know, at least 15 of us. Could have been more than that, but we all relatives, and even not relatives, there were some friends of that, where we all made sure everyone watched over each other, and it was just not Aunt Katie. She was a cook. She had a food for us. But guess what? When we was outside, the community is still watching over. We had Miss Francis. I was telling the kid today, I gave him this oatmeal cake, right? I said the oatmeal cake, I think I paid like a dollar, it was like a triple size oatmeal cake. It was like $1.20 for us, my guess. I said, do you know back in the day, I said the oatmeal cake, you can get that oatmeal cake for a nickel. And he started laughing. He's like, no way. He's like 11 years old. He's like, no way. I said, yes, for a nickel. But I'm saying, we went down there, Miss France. We have our little nickels, our quarters in our pocket. We got a lot of for a quarter. But everybody watched us, even though he was a store owner, a businessman. But guess what? He knew who got there. He told us to be careful and be disciplined. Everybody watched us all through that neighborhood. So what you said while they go on an excellent point. I just wanted to say that. I wanted to get that. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's really powerful because it forces family cohesiveness, or at least an increased cohesiveness. Like you said, whether someone's a favorite of the family or not, or this, that, and the other, well, hey, just watch him until his older sister, a teenager, gets off work from down there at the XYZ because she's still working at, say, at Walmart or whatever. Just watch him till then. And so it creates that cross-connectedness where at a time of need where maybe it may not happen two or three times out of the year in other circumstances, under normal circumstances. So it creates another pathway that the kid feels connected to, you know. In a disconnected world, he has connectivity. And sometimes that's all it takes is someone, you know, to know that someone cares, you know what I mean? When you're that young, and it's impressionable.
Yes.
Instead of being babysat by the TV only, you know, at least sitting in front of the TV with a new face in the room, watching him, you know, showing that, hey, he's here, you know, like twice a week, you know, when big sis goes to work or whatever, and mom's, you know, taking care of Aunt Bessie or whatever, you know, and she can't be here.
Mm-hmm.
But everyone takes their turn to manage, you know, these two kids or whatever, it brings in a whole set of dynamics. So that's an opportunity instead of a loss.
And coach, let's move on. Excellent point. Excellent point. And let's move on to the adults, and then we'll go to the elderly, and then we're gonna say some of the things that I'm stressed out and tired of, and we can talk about that too. And we have time in the show. But going on to the basically, with the adults now, they feeling tired, they depressed, you know, loss of jobs, money worries, stress, you know, homebound. Alan brought that to me during the topic, before we did this topic, homebound too much, arguing with family members, aggravated, frustrated, they're worried, they're scared. And don't forget this, I'm a prime candidate of this. I am tired of the 6 feet apart stickers, okay? I'm tired of looking at them. I'm just tired of looking at them stickers, right? Direction, arrows on the floor of stores, 3 people only in the elevator. Mask, mask, mask. I'm tired of looking at these masks. I am T-I-R-E-D-D-D. So look at these masks, okay?
Yeah. Exclamation part.
I'm tired of these masks. You know what? I look at people riding the mask by themselves in the car, and I'm like, you know what? I don't know what planet are you on, but that mask may come by yourself, right? You know, and I'm just tired of it, man. Look at the hand sanitizer. Every 2 seconds. I am tired of this. So don't touch that. Temperature checks. You know, it's causing frustration. Mm-hmm. I'm frustrated, and I don't be around all that too much. You know, I'd be on my own thing. But I'm just tired. I'm tired of looking at it. I'm tired of it, man. You know, and so imagine adults that they're dealing with their kids with this. And they having to, listen, I tried to go to the store the other day, and that's why I forgot my mask. And I was like, God, then now, well, what you going, how you going to get a mask? Some people wanted you in the store. And I'm trying to buy telling me, sir, could you put your mask? Mm-hmm. No, come on, man. No, I don't need all that. I don't need to be here. I respect it in a sense of closed areas. I do respect it. But I'm frustrated and tired of it. You know, it's like, you know what? I'm like 2 seconds away from like just getting away from here, you know, going to my own little island somewhere. And y'all can have these masks. Y'all can wrap these masks where y'all want to wrap them at. You hear me? Because I'm tired of them. But I'm just saying, so think about how some people are feeling about this. And they're just, but being homebound, before you had the adults, you may have one person leaving going to work. Next person goes leaving them to work. Now they're at home. They deal with the kids. And that was their way of, actually that worked for them. Now by them home together all the time, it's causing more frustration. Okay? And then guess what? They have gotten off. They don't have a plan. They plan was to go to work every day. And after that, they go to happy hour. They come back and enjoy. Now the happy hour is gone. Okay? Your happy hour is getting back to the house, dealing with some more frustration. That's your happy hour. Buddy, you know, vice versa. For you later, same way. Your happy hour is now getting back home and dealing with someone aggravating you and frustrating you. Okay? Vice versa, either way. So now you got to figure out, well, like the young lady called me earlier, it's formulating a plan. Have an itinerary set up for yourself. Even when you get home from work, you want to exercise for 30 minutes. If not exercise, okay. You want to organize. If you want to organize, okay. Call a friend if you want to talk to them for a little bit. If you want to do that, find a certain movie you want to look at. Look at movies for a minute. Don't get too comfortable. But no, I just wanted to say about that. But let's talk about these adults. I just wanted to get that out. And so I went off the handle for a minute. But go ahead, because we got to get to these elements.
Good point. No, that's good. You went into detail. That's good. That needs to be heard, though. Case in point, you know, is when you're dealing with the outdoors, you know, with the lifestyle being adjusted, because at the end of the day, they need to feel, you know, important, and now that's taken away from them, you know, their normal lifestyle is taken away from them. So, like you say, being home day in and day out, who knows what kind of relationship goes on between the companionship at home. You know, and like you said earlier, happy hours escaping, you know, vice versa, you know, that's also weighing on the mind, you know, isolating themselves from in the house, you know, to avoid, you know, collision or arguments, you know, so it's heavy stress on the couples or dating couples or the kids in the midst of that day in and day out, you know, that definitely creates attention, fallouts, stress, anxiety, anger. Now everybody's in a losing situation until they come together, like you say, having a plan to sort through, you know, learning each other. You'd be surprised how many couples don't understand or know each other's, you know, along with the kids. You know, now you're home, like you said, homebound. So now we got to figure out how we're going to survive and coexist, you know. And so that's level of intention right there for the to the adults itself. If they're single or married or dating, living together, now it's about how we're going to survive this pandemic together. Because like you mentioned earlier, you had a work schedule, you know, different times or the same time, but everybody out the house at a certain time and back in at a certain time. Now you become complacent, so you're used to that schedule and that routine, and now all that don't hit the fan, you know, in terms of the pandemic. So now it's about readjusting, making adjustment, how to be compatible or how to coexist to alleviate any stress or unwanted stress or tension amongst, you know, the couples, you know.
Yeah, can you say it again?
Did not leave it to, like,
I would say it again too, is like the formula, the plan, because to minimize a blow up, you can say, against arguments and things like that, even just so what people just said a while ago. I'm sorry, I cut you off. I shouldn't cut you off. I want you to repeat it because it was really
no. Go ahead. You're fine.
No, you were saying something.
Yeah, but
not, what you said about make sure you formulate a plan. And avoid a lot of frustration, anger, and even just not with just your loved ones, even just with the kids too. But go ahead.
Yeah, in terms of that, yeah, having a plan in place, you know, to where everybody can come to a time schedule where, you know, this is going on, you know, at a certain time, maybe getting up at a certain time, having family time together, having some time alone, you know, in terms of meditating, you know, create an exercise schedule together, leisure time, you know, reading books, playing games, you know, activities to minimize and eliminate those factors of stress, blow up arguments or temper tantrums. You know, so having a plan would definitely create more of a healthy vibe instead of having like this bad vibe or this animosity and the skeleton coming out the closet. I just had to just say it that way because, you know, sometimes when you actually not around each other on a regular basis, you know, it's easy to keep down, you know, thoughts, dislike thoughts or hateful thoughts or that anger, animosity, or reflecting on the past. So a lot of things can come out, you know, in terms of not being the right time, but in the eyes of being there around each other all day, everything. Certain things can be unhashed, you know, which create more stress, more tension, more anxiety. You know, this is me just thinking outside the box, but I know for sure this don't occur with some of the clientele that I do serve, you know, when it comes to the adult population.
So,
a plan is definitely
a lot of people struggling. I mean, a lot of people struggling. They, like, feel like they're pulling up, like they're trying to pull a semi up a mountain right now, you know, by themselves. It won't move.
Right.
So, they're struggling with this, and what you're saying is very, very informative. Go ahead, Alan. Go ahead. We'll shoot you up to say
well, people that are experiencing, you know, living with depression during this time, during this pandemic, you know, they find themselves in a newfound, you know, you might say sand trap, since, you know, you're familiar with golf, but it's because you're talking about having difficulty just accessing their medications and not having the proper medication. If it's a psych med, it can really send someone in a super anxiety state. You got people facing these unusually intense fears about COVID itself, just catching it, not to mention, you know, you're at home without working, you don't have a schedule, you're feeling extremely anxious about finances. So just that alone, that ball of wax, so those three are pretty heavy. But as coach, when you start withdrawing, you know, due to some of these, you know, social relationships and the social isolation is what I guess is what I'm trying to say. That increased social isolation, you now, it starts feeding itself through all of these feelings, you know, all of these symptoms that are related with depression and anxiety due to, you know, the pandemic. And all of that creates a sense of helplessness and hopelessness about the future. So what people can do, like you mentioned, definitely have some kind of schedule and limiting the time spent with news and social media, you know, and that kind of thing, because then you use that as a crutch of using that same social media where you're anchored to trying to absorb all of this news. You're using that pathway to also shore up your social, you know, to remove some of your social isolation by maintaining relationships through that instead of calling someone, hearing the inflection in their voice that makes more of a connection. I was reading about the other day. It was interesting talking about how people experience their world through their phone. They go to a concert with their loved one or friend or whatever, and they hold up their phone instead of staring at the stage. They hold their phone up and stare at the little 3-inch screen. I mean, really? And that the psychologist said, keep in mind the studies have shown that absorbing that experience, I'll use the word experience loosely, through your phone, it doesn't make the emotional contact and that memory with you nearly as much as witnessing it firsthand, putting the damn phone down. And they said that the youth of today are doing that so often, they aren't really creating memories, not accurate memories, not with the proper level of emotion, of that connectedness to it, because they're experiencing everything through their phones. And that's what's happening with texting mostly, instead of hearing the inflection in someone's voice, the excitement or the concern. You know what I mean? It's totally different communicating with someone on the phone. It's harder for them to misdirect the conversation or their feelings or their intent. See, you get a lot about the intent from someone by watching mannerisms or hearing their voice or making eye contact. Those three things are very critical. So when you feel isolated, of course those things are going to help to maintain, you know, maintaining social relationships in that way through those three avenues. Of course they're going to make you feel a little more connected to the world and to significant people in your life. Without that, it can have more of a drastic effect on you than you think. So, and one last thing. Let me back up 10 seconds. I got to get this one in. You mentioned masks. You mentioned hating seeing masks. Of course, one better. I play golf. Hate to see someone with a golf glove that was white at one time that's now tar paper black with a hole in the thumb. It's time to change that glove. Same thing with these masks. Now, that glove may cost $20, so I can see why they hold on to that a while. You get a box of 100 masks for $5 or whatever, okay? Change that mask. It was light blue at one time. Now it's dog-eared on the end. It's got tape on one ear because the elastic string on one ear is torn off. The mouthpiece is almost worn through, and it's black right where the mouth is. Yeah. You know, come on, change that little light blue mask or either buy a new one. Okay, I'm finished.
Yeah,
you're
going to
talk, walk through Walmart. You're going to see some masks that need washing.
Yeah, man.
All right, so I finished it. Okay, I had to get that out. Now I feel good. Now I've cleansed myself during the pandemic, during my lockdown.
Coach, let's move on to the Elliott effect. Effect, you're looking at high risk of infection, fear and anxiety, where, of course, homebound, of course, no family visits, no nursing home, assisted living. Assisted living, man. Let me tell you guys something right now. Let me tell you this before I go to the next thing. All right. My dad got really, really sick. Okay. We flew home and he was in an assisted living place. And I understand some people just can't they not can't be there for their families, and they're or could be Alzheimer's or somebody can't do for them. But my dad, we just couldn't just. It was rough being up there. I'm glad we got him away because it's depression, and you don't know. You know, family members, you just don't want anybody just putting their hands on them. You understand what I'm saying? You don't know how they're being treated. But fortunately, my little town where I'm from, in my little community, the area within the hour range is Louisiana. People, they're good people. And I was fortunate to have my dad in the area where I know they was taking care of him. But just for me on the other side, I mean, I know some parents, I mean, some elderly, some of your parents out there and some of these living assistants, they're not helping them at all. But like I said, fortunate where I'm from, they were helping them, and they were doing a pretty good job, I could say, most of the time. There's some things you may see, you get real sensitive about, like, you know, what are you doing? Don't do that. But overall, versus some living assistants that the elderly have to, their whole entire life work for, and you're going to let them go out that way to suffer and have people treat them wrong? Now, you don't want to, but I understand, I don't understand. Some parents and some kids can't be there for their parents. But if not that, please make sure that they're in a facility that they're being awakened, well, taken care of and ask questions. The next one is physical office visits, counseled, non-essentials. So, again, LA effects, high risk of infection, fear and anxiety, worry, homebound, no family visits, no nursing home assistant living visits, and physical physicians, office visits canceled. So you're just throwing them away. You really have just been thrown away. So what do you think about that, Coach?
In terms of the elderly population.
The elderly population.
Yeah.
Think about the depression that they're going through, that this COVID-19 has put them on because they've lost their visits. They you can't go see them. And then if someone else has COVID that's in that home, they have a chance of spreading to the other elderly, you know? So, and we understand some adults that travel around the world and they can't be with their parents and they put in trust of those facilities to take care of them, but it's a lot of stress on them too. You guys go ahead before I get around and get pissed off. I'm mad. Sorry about that. Go ahead.
No problem. I understand. Yeah, it's definitely crucial for the elderly population because they're up in age, you know, and as in the age climbs, you know, a lot of things regress, decline, like memories, sense of love, belonging, attachment. They feel like they're lonely, they're by themselves. So with the social isolation in the elderly population, leads to a contemplation of just giving up. You know, I'm not loved, I'm not important. Creates a sense of, I just know a lot of elderly people. I'm just trying to get my thoughts together in terms of that. But yeah, it definitely creates a lot of loneliness.
No, because it's a sensitive subject because the fact is, you start thinking of your elderly parents and what they've done for you, man, over the years. And I don't care.
Right.
You had that one elderly person that really made you mad, but still at the end of the day, you still respect them, you still love them, but we wouldn't be here if it wasn't for them. So
right, they feel hopeless.
You know, and then I'm not gonna get biblical on it because you want a child, you want a child, and you go out as you get older, you become a child again, you become frail, you become weak. You know, no matter how much, there's only a few can keep themselves healthy, but that's a lot of hard work, working out every day. And thank God that most of us now, you know, we're trying to keep ourselves aware of keeping ourselves together. But you know what? Back in the day, a lot of people had to work so hard they couldn't have a chance to keep themselves together. They couldn't do it. Their jobs, hard labor was their workouts. So I understand where your mind went off because you start thinking in deep thought of it. Adam, what do you think about this situation with the elderly this infection?
Yeah, well, I tell you, I know the National Institutes of Health, I read something about like 3 weeks ago it was something to the effect of, you know, we've touched on it, but they were saying, don't forget, it's hard on the elderly, so because they have a whole different routine of existence. Like you said, that, well, you start out as a child, you become the man, then you become a child again, et cetera. That's, you know, not far. You're changing, you know, different. You have different needs and different things that are changing and requirements in your growth, development, and then your devolvement. But at any rate, it says it was basically saying that it's well known, first of all, that social isolation among older adults is, you know, it's a serious public concern. That the National Health Institute was talking about, that article I read, and it was saying because of, first of all, you got a heightened risk of diseases and things within the older, in particular things that are related to how COVID really locks in. Because keep in mind, 50% of the deaths that have occurred with COVID has been within, nursing homes, the elderly, elderly care facility, et cetera. But getting back to what I was talking about of what kind, you know, how it this isolation really affects the elderly is, like I said, through cardiovascular and autoimmune and, you know, all kind of neurological degradation, you know, diseases and issues related to those three, and mental health, to say the least, you know. So basically what it was hinging on, and to make matters a little more clear as it relates to older people and, you know, the COVID lockdown with depression, anxiety, what it relates to is because they're remaining in the home and having to, you can run out to Walmart, since we were laughing at that, laughing at the mask. So we can go there and have the energy to do that. But if you're elderly and you're semi-shut in like that, just having groceries and vital medications, you have to have either delivered or a family member available to go get yours while they go get theirs if they don't live in the same home, you know, the same location. You got, they're avoiding social contact with family and friends because they're busy if they don't live in the home. So urgent action is really needed because it doesn't, it's beyond just a routine, I'll run by and see grandma. No, it becomes urgent action because it's needed to mitigate any mental downhill developments that are occurring, you know, detrimental mental occurrences or physical health consequences that are building and occurring due to this lockdown with the elderly. So, you know, all that self-isolation does disproportionately, I can't even talk, affect the elderly more so because of that. Keep in mind, lastly, I mentioned being at home. What were they doing before this pandemic? They were daycare venues, walking or picking up the kid from daycare because mommy's working, you know, be right before the pandemic, or community centers, or simply on Sunday having that scheduled out and going to, you know, Sunday services. They can't do that now. So they don't have close contact with family and friends because they aren't going to the community center or to the daycare venue to pick up the child after school or the church. So it becomes even more isolative than their way to deal with their isolation pre-COVID. They had at least a few things a week or schedule, you know, a routine. Now all that's been disrupted altogether, so it places the elderly at additional risk. That's what I'm trying to get through and cover all of those little touch points there, but I hope I made it as clear as mud there.
Like, case in point, like my mom is 80 years old, so that kind of gives you an idea of her raising 10 kids, you know, in the midst of losing my father 5 years ago, you know, so it's a constant reminder of keeping her engaged, either by phone or visitation from, you know, I still have siblings in the same neighborhood, town, community where my mom is. So I take responsibility, you know, amongst myself to reach out to my siblings and nieces and nephews, you know, to keep a close tab or go by and check on grandma, go by, you know, hey grandma, how you doing? You need anything? Keep her feeling alive, you know, because at some point when you reach a certain age, you go to, like I say, you decline. And I'm saying that because I'm seeing these as I continue to live, thank God, you know, as in know, my mom, she's in a good state of mind, but, you know, things she used to do, she can't do, you know. And then with this social isolation, you know, it takes a toll on her because she feels confined, you know, in the home. So we do encourage her to get outside, you know, walk around in the yard, and that's part of her self-soothing to keep her feeling important, to keep her connected with, you know, society. And if not, you have to be careful. You know, loneliness sets in, depression sets in, stress sets in, you know, contemplation sets in, suicide thoughts sets in, you know. So that's why it's a touchy topic for me, you know, because
right.
I'm actually witnessing.
And I knew was something going on, because that's why I'm going to pick it up, because some things, I don't have to be next to you to understand what's going on in your voice, how you're feeling. But I totally understand and understood there was something. And because you understand that the respect, and that's the most important thing, and that's in your heart. You have a good heart on you. Number two is that, you know, you appreciate what they've done and what they're doing today. And number three, wisdom. You get your wisdom from your elderly. You don't go around getting no wisdom, nobody that's now you get some wisdom for a teenager 10-year-old is playing a video game. You know what I mean? Okay, yeah, you can show me some things. But that's a video game. Life-changing, life-going life experiences, awareness of people, being in certain areas, something that you can feel that's something not right, that's experience. That's things that you, some people will never get. That's some people that's been blessed to have it. And that's where those, that's where the elderly, look here. It's a reason why you have elderly people here. But
amen.
You ever thought about during this time that these are times that you need to be getting information from them and asking questions, spend more time with them? But go ahead.
I was gonna say, see, that just speaks on Coach's humanity, his humbleness and appreciation of the value that, you know, she has. See, it's not a matter of, oh, dude, you got to do these things, or reaching out to call somebody and say, hey, run by there and see, you know, so-and-so. Not because it's the nice thing or the right thing to do. No. He's saying it from his humanity. It's being done because of the appreciation and understanding the value of what, you know, she's been able to still translate. And that right there is the reason to do it, because it is easing the it's creating relevance, showing her that she's relevant to, and for her to see her value, because someone else appreciates, because someone is empathetic in her situation of not being able to get out, so taking it upon themselves to at least make sure she has the social interaction, she's not forgotten about, you have value because we value you. That right there, people, just like anyone mad going in the store, all they want to do is be heard, even if they don't really get exactly what they were after, as long as they're heard, they're relevant. Mm-hmm. So that's a way to maintain her relevance, and, you know, and that speaks volumes.
And number four, man, sorry about your loss of your father. Thing about it is this, is that the main thing I'm saying is that you have it in your heart and understand that all this COVID pandemic they have going on, and I will give some credit to the media. They have really, really pushed on talking about the elderly, and we've forgotten about that. I think it kind of blows over really quick, but they have the media's been really, really good. I would say they really have, about sharing and not forgetting of the elderly, what they're going through. But of course, I give our favorite names of us, of adults, of knuckleheads. We tend to forget that what they've done for us. It wouldn't be for them, we wouldn't be here. Okay, a lot of elderly parents and stuff we had, they could have dropped us off somewhere in the middle of the woods, or dropped us off on the street and kept going. They didn't do that. They could have, you know, they could have done that. They didn't do it. And the ones that did do their kids like that, guess what? They were picked up by other parents, and people watched over and loved them. But at the same time,
true.
You know, one admit that you don't want to. Yeah, but they did. But glad they weren't with them because it was off. It was crazy. But elderly wise,
right?
I mean, we have to respect them, man. Mm-hmm. Respect the elderly because guess what? You never know if you may be in those same shoes at 80 or 90 years old, and then guess what? Now you're looking for somebody to take care of you. And guess what? That's the difference, you know. So you got to take care of them. Because now they may not take care of you. You get to live to get 80 or 90 years old. I'm not going to live to get 80 or 90 years old. You don't know what you're going to do. But at the end of the day, God is the last say-so. God can drag your life. He can drag you to 90 and put you through some stuff, okay? Because you in your 20s or 30s right now, you think you've been through some stuff. You don't know what you're going to go through when you get 50. You don't know what you go through when you go get 60 or 70. Because guess what? Some of the things you go through at 70 or 80 years old, feels the same way you're going through using high school because there's an argument where you and your buddies are a girlfriend. You understand what I'm saying? So don't forget about that.
Yeah.
If I keep talking, y'all going to start giving some collection money. You know that? That's going to happen.
Preach on, brother.
Collection money.
Well, I'm going to put on my white gloves and pass the plate down.
Yeah.
I'm trying to tell you, man.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
but you were saying your own point there because a lot of these young people don't have any idea that the people before them are the ones who are, you know, making it possible, who have carved paths for them. So they need to shut down some of those complaints. And before they crank up the complaint meter, they need to try to forge ahead and carve new inroads themselves. And then speak about someone who has carved inroads and who have, you know, risked their reputation and put it down on the line to speak truth to power or, you know, whatever. 'Cause see, some of these young kids have never done one thing of any, you know, of any critical nature.
Right.
And you get a lot of that wisdom from older people who have carved paths.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
So, all right, check this out. I have some tips to cope. Let's talk about this, and we're going to talk about this for about 10 minutes, and then we'll start hitting on the show. All right, tips to cope. Okay, this is some tips, and what do you guys think? Maintain a positive mindset. I'm going to say this. Things to maintain a positive mindset. All right. Time to do things at home you were too busy for before. Okay, then there's the next one, number two. Formulate a plan, schedule, exercise, YouTube videos. I would say for the YouTubers with the videos, you guys have been doing a wonderful, wonderful thing. I really haven't been following, but the other ones that's following the YouTube and doing the videos, I would say, you guys deserve a lot of credit, a lot of motivation. You've given a lot of people around the world. So keep doing it. Read, pray, call friends to reconnect, meditate. Okay, number three, art, paint, draw, good therapy. Number four, board games. Number five, puzzles, enhances your brain. Okay, and number six, try new recipes. And number seven, read a book. So what do you guys think about that? So number one, I said time to do things at home when you're too busy before to do. And you can kind of go in that with the formulated plan of exercise and read and pray with therapy, meditate. And I think Coach Harbeck, you mentioned something about meditating earlier. And I think Mr. Allen, you mentioned something about formulating a plan, scheduling exercise. So what do you guys think about this? Maintain a positive mindset. Guys, let's talk about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's incredible. Yeah. That's incredible. Yeah, and that's I go. Then you can go after me, Mr. Allen, and I'll be short, brief. Yeah, I mean those are topics.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, those are topics and coping skills and strategies that is highly recommended. And those tips will definitely benefit anyone. You know, to all the listeners. You know, that's how you're going to be able to survive and thrive and keep a positive mindset. So, and the key is, like you said, a positive mindset. know, the more positive feelings you have relating to everything that's going on, the more it's going to ease the pain and discomfort. And being able to open up and be honest with yourself, you know, that's important too. And being willing to make a change, you know, and make this adjustment as it continues to unfold right now. So, yeah, definitely some great tips. Good job.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What you think, Mr. Allen?
Yes, I think in order to, you know, really get a handle on the potential of these depressionary mood swings and that kind of thing is simply to be aware of the signs of depression. You know, once you, we mentioned some of the symptoms, some of the things that are making you feel uneasy and anxious and all, you know, let's keep it real simple and to the point. You mentioned staying active by having a schedule. That's absolutely encouraging, you know, some type of activity on a, some kind of regular basis, like you say, board games, anything that's pleasurable, fun, or an accomplishment, painting, a hobby that you can do internally, et cetera. So those are the kind of things that can be done, keeping a sense of perspective on things. Because people experience depression and all of that, and people start magnifying problems. So it's a way to pull back a little bit and not obsess over these terrible things, but focus on, you know, solutions. But those are the kind of things, you know, challenge those negative thoughts and turn them into positive thinking patterns of things you can control and deal with that. Make those plans, make new short goals, and focus on gratitude. Encourage people to, you know, not only yourself, but people around you to feel grateful for the opportunity you have to do something different. And owe thanks to, you know, the power that be, you know, that is, you know, that mm-hmm. controls each and everything about everything in existence. You know, pray
but
if you're
right, like,
inclined, et cetera. But if nothing
right.
else.
No.
Yeah, that's all.
What
yeah, I was just saying, if nothing else, just keep abreast of keep staying grounded and being appreciative.
Right, and what you said, Alan, just now, you said something about wasn't being aware, about exercising your brain. Okay, you missed what
yes.
you just said something. But what did you
mentally
say?
Mentally active. Yeah.
The last sentence. What did you say? Basically, the last 10 words. What did you say? I missed. I was trying to say. What did you hear? What he said on that?
It
needed to be
I don't know if it was dropping out. I was on a roll so hard. I kind of
yeah.
Let me see if
to,
I can remember.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't remember.
Let me say
the
let
last
me say this,
10.
I think you. I think, let me say this before I forget what else I'm going to say about Coach Harbeck, because I'm going to forget this too. Okay. So basically, all right, I'm going to say this, and this should come up before. So you guys pick what I'm saying and break it down specifically for me. Okay. Problem for your listeners. Okay. Everything we said about the mental and physical tonight, this is the problem. Okay. We know the devil is interacting with your mind. Okay. And your mental can affect your physical. Okay. The devil is number one. He's influencing it. He's the problem. However, you don't believe in the devil, guess what? Believe this, that someone has put you in their state of mind. Okay? Someone has promoted this to put you in a situation. And we're going to kind of, the next topic is going to kind of be about that, the promotion of this, where we're at today. So you got to understand, you got to look at it this way. It's like, you got to feel like, okay, You're in a room, okay? You're in a room, or you're looking at yourself through a glass box, okay? Or a glass. So like this. It's like an old telephone booth. You're looking at yourself in the telephone booth. But you're trapped in that box mentally, and you won't allow any help, okay? You won't allow any help to come in to bring you out the telephone booth, to bring out that box, that glass box, to so you can start thinking and seeing better. You close your mind, okay? You close your mind off. So you have to feel, you have to look at yourself, write down the negative and positive, get a sheet of paper and write it down, and see yourself that this is where I'm at, this is what's going on, and see yourself before this happened, and see where your goals, where you're trying to be. Then consolidate that, saying that to pull yourself out of the mindset that you're in, the struggle that you're dealing with, the mental part of it. And the mental part, if you don't, it will affect you physically. So I want to say that, guys, you kind of like touched on what I said because, Coach, you said some touched on that for a second, for a minute, and then Alan touched on that. But I, you got to understand, it's like the subconscious mind, I'm not sure, the conscious mind is affecting the subconscious mind. Am I saying that right?
Exactly. And with that, you're right on target. Yeah, you're right on target.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You guys go ahead and, yeah, we have 10 minutes, you guys. Go ahead and kind of get on.
Yeah, so you can't, see, the thing that people don't understand is that you can't separate the physical from the spiritual. And one affects the other, et cetera. There is a relationship. And when people are in that connected way, it's profound how the spiritual can guide you through things that you yourself couldn't cognitively or engineer on your own. Just like having a spiritual connectedness, some people are more reliant on other connected, you know, falling angels as, or whatever entity that is that source of negativity can also affect the physical. So it's a matter of what your belief system is. But one thing for sure, you are being affected from the spiritual. From the, and that is true. And staying connected in a positive connected way is, you know, how you can receive answers and direction from when you can't come up with that totally on your own, a little assistance, you might say. And that's what guides mankind. And being disconnected is just suicide. It's simple as that.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, really, it's just as simple as that.
Mm-hmm.
Of course.
And it's been that way all through history. I mean, through the beginning of man's, I mean, of man's existence. So that's just what it is.
Right.
And people have to come to grips with that sometime in their life or enjoy the grip that they have now and that good grip and continue. You know, it's exactly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Coach, you want to say
anything? I found that to be true in my life.
I was going to say, in terms of that, you know, the mind, the body, and the spirits are all connected. What the mind say, the body follows. In terms of that, and then with the conscious mind, it's also the subconscious mind. But the subconscious mind try to repress thoughts, while the subconscious mind is trying to keep something from coming to the forefront to bring awareness to the conscious mind. So yeah, the mind, body, and soul are definitely connected. So, and that's pretty much how I wanted to wrap that up.
Well, Coach, you know, you just wrapped up. You solved the reason why they do advertising. Oh, you mean they really advertise to your subconscious mind? Because that's where that's what can motivate you heavier to do something. But in the subconscious, actually, that's why Edward Bernays and his the father of propaganda. That's why advertising is very effective when done that way. But at any rate.
Well, Coach,
yes, sir.
Would you like to, Coach, let the listeners know where it can be reached at again, please? Like, give us like a minute on that or like 20 seconds, please.
Okay, yeah,
oh,
no
wow.
problem. I could be reached at my Instagram account, Bobby Hallback, and also I can be reached at my website, first name Bobby Hallback, or www.bobbyhallback.com. So there's any concerns or requests or services, you can reach me there.
And Coach, I mean, we're glad you're on the show and join us, but we're going to have definitely for sure have you back on if you're available next week. I We're going to bring a topic that's going to go. It's going to kind of coincide exactly with what we. This show is what we're going through right now, in this day and time during this pandemic. Allie, you want to say anything before let Coach go?
Well, Coach, it's a pleasure enjoying your wisdom today, and as usual, it's very well received, and that information can do a lot of good. Thanks for sharing it with us,
Coach.
Yes,
thanks
sir,
again.
Appreciate you.
Always. Thanks. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And
yeah, have a good night.
Enjoy your night. All right.
Alrighty. Thanks.
Night.
Okay. Good night. Bye bye.
Yeah. Coach. All right. Mr. Allen, you want to say anything? Give us a minute. Say anything to our listeners. Yeah.
Yes. On signing out here, that was very good information from everybody. The contribution tonight. It should be a well-rounded piece to break a piece off and use in your everyday life during this pandemic. I can be reached at leaveusalone@gmail.com. I'm always in and out of my email. Texting sometimes backs up, but I always answer emails. So with that, thanks a lot for having me on the show and riding shotgun with you this evening.
Yeah, absolutely. I enjoyed you having on the show too. And I want you, if you next week, we're going to talk about a topic that's basically, since you mentioned piggybacking, piggybacking is going to do the same, piggyback off this topic we're talking about tonight, and about basically, you know, what that this by this pandemic that we're dealing with, basically, it's almost, it was like it was promoted for extra fear, promoted for increase in death, increase of stress. So we're going to kind of talk about that for sure next
okay.
week.
Okay, as if it was setting up a part two almost.
Exactly.
That's what I was thinking. Okay, I'll be glad
to
join you.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you can, that would be very wonderful, because I think right now in Florida they're going to shut us down in the next week. Saying the numbers are going back up. I think here in Florida for sure, because a lot of it too is because there's so many people visiting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they were saying Texas, Florida, and California are showing recurrences. Yeah.
Right, because the fact is when they open up the state, they open up not for the Floridians, but it was open for everybody. So that was allowing people to come in and out. So they say, so yes, the situation, but we'll see what happened. But right now it seemed like they're going to shut the state down. Hopefully keep things going and they can get this thing contained. But I think it'll be very interesting for you. I think you'll like we're going to talk about. I think you're going to love it. We're going to talk about next week. Allen, always a pleasure, and enjoy your evening out there in the beautiful weather of California. Okay, thanks again.
All righty, you got it, and thanks a lot, and you have a good evening.
All right. Good night.
Good night,
guys. Hope you guys enjoyed the show, and hope you guys can. Stay tuned for the next topic. We'll post it in a few days. And I want you guys to stay safe. Also, too, I would love for you guys to keep your prayers going. Keep your prayers alive. And stay positive for each other. Keep motivating each other. And please set up a plan for you guys, a daily routine, a weekly routine, and a monthly routine. Stay busy. Don't allow the devil to come in to your workshop. Again, I want you guys to enjoy your evening. Thank you so much for listening. All right, good night.
The cutest. Saturday by